Our scripture today is from Luke 24, the 13th through the 35th verses. I think it's from the New International Version. But you know, we all know about the Living Bible, and it's kind of a paraphrase. If you listen to that children's sermon today, we had the Living Bible in paraphrase presented to us by Jennifer. That was fantastic. Let us listen to the Lord's words together. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in the last days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Today we're going to focus on two primary questions. And those questions are, how do we know God? And how do we know God's will for our lives? Now, as a church, we are doing the Experiencing God Bible study. And so some of you have your workbooks that you've been working through, and you know, in Sunday school classes we've been talking about it, and in the sermons as well. And so for some of you, when you hear those questions, you're probably thinking, hey, I've already wrestled with those questions. And maybe a little flag went up or a little smile because you've been thinking about those questions quite a bit. But today we're going to work through these issues as a congregation. And we're going to use the backdrop of the scripture that Jerry just read to us from Luke chapter 24 about the two followers of Jesus who are walking on the road to Emmaus. So let's start with the first question. How do we know God? When Henry Blackaby was working on this study, the publisher wanted to name it Knowing God instead of Experiencing God. And he said, absolutely not. He said, you know, it's not trying to know more facts about God. We need to experience God. And that's the only way that we can really know God is to experience God. And so we need to do that first. And hopefully as we experience God, then he shows us more and reveals more of who he really is. You know, and as we think about these two followers of Jesus who are walking on this road, they thought they knew who Jesus was when they started that trip. But it's really not until they walked with Jesus, and it's not until he taught them and really revealed himself to them, that their eyes were truly open. You know, and actually that's true for us too. You know, too often, just like these two and in our lives, we're looking at the wrong perspective. We're limiting our view because we look at things at such a lower level than what God looks at things. And let me just ask you, when you think about the Bible, is this a book about a lot of people's lives? Or is it a book about God's story and how he's worked through those lives? You know, because there is a difference. You know, one is looking just through the perspective of individual people, and the other is looking from a much higher perspective, from God's perspective, to see what's really going on. And that's what we want to look at. You know, but for us, I think too often we look at things from our viewpoint. And that's when it gets to be frustrating, when we're trying to look at life and we're thinking it's all about us. You know, that the world revolves around me, that everything should be about how well it goes for me. That's when we get frustrated, because it doesn't always go that way. But if we step back and think it's God's will and it's God's story that we need to be paying attention to, then if we'll focus on what God is doing in the world and join him, then that helps us to really understand where we fit in. Because he does have a plan for us, but his plan is for us to fit in to his story. And that's where we really need to be. Because it's not about us as individuals. And when we try to make it about us, then we're also trying to shape God into our image. And we forget that we were created in the image of God. It is God who is the creator of the universe. It is God who is in the center. It is God's story that we need to focus on. And so when we think about these two that have been walking down this road, we recognize that, you know, they left there without really knowing who Jesus was. And they're leaving Jerusalem because they're disappointed. They think Jesus is dead. And their image of how everything was supposed to work has fallen apart because they didn't look at things from a God perspective. They looked at it from what they wanted. And they didn't understand everything. And as they're walking along, then Jesus comes up and walks beside them. And they're kept from knowing that it is Jesus. But he walks along beside them and he talks to them. Now, of course, since it's kept from them as to knowing who he is, you know, that's obvious as they're walking along. But it's also obvious that they never knew him in the first place. Because they talk about him, as they talk about him, they talk about him as a prophet. You know, and they talk about it from a human perspective of what they expected. And so that's why they're leaving Jerusalem, is because they're disappointed when, you know, they think Jesus is dead and everything that they counted on didn't work out. And they totally missed the fact that the women had gone to the tomb, they'd found the tomb empty, they'd even talked to angels who had said that Jesus had arisen. Some of the other disciples had gone and checked out and said, yes, for sure, the tomb is empty. And yet with all that information, they weren't able to look at, you know, thinking maybe this is a bigger picture than what we originally thought. Instead, they turned their backs on it. They said, let's take our toys and we're going back home because it's not what we expected. And they go home downcast. It talks about their downcast faces. Now, have we ever been like that? You know, God, you know, I thought I knew you. You know, you were supposed to do things this way. I told you how to do it. I prayed about it and I told you how to do it. Have we ever done that? Lord, let me tell you how to run the world, because I know. After all, isn't God there just to bless me and make everything work out for me? I mean, we don't always say that out loud, but that's really what we think. If you think about our prayers, you know, what percentage of our prayers are we praying for the things that we want? The things that we want God to do for us without any recognition of what God is really doing in the world. I mean, do we really think that Jesus Christ was born and that he died on the cross just for us to have everything that we wanted? Or maybe God had a bigger purpose in all that. Maybe Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and resurrection were for something so much bigger. It's still for us, but it's much bigger than the little things that we're normally worried about. Because when you think about it, Jesus' life and God's will is about that they want every single person to be saved, to have eternal life. And so it's so much bigger than we thought at first. So when we look at that second question about how do we know God's will for our lives, then what we need to step back and realize is that's the wrong question to be asking. Because when we add that last three words for our lives, then we're putting us in the center of everything. And we're thinking it's all about us again. So the real question that we need to be asking is, how do we know God's will? Because that puts God in the center. And if we're focused on God's will, then we'll better understand how we fit into that will and what's really important. And it is God's will and God's purpose that is the most important thing in this life. And when we try to do our own thing, then we're never really going to succeed. It's never really going to have great value. Because the only way that we can really accomplish anything is when we're doing it with God. You know, and sometimes we think that we come up with great ideas of how we can serve God. And we even take it to Him and say, Lord, bless this. Because this will be a great ministry. Bless this idea of mine. And often what we find out later is that it really didn't come to much. Because it wasn't God's word in the first place. It wasn't God's ministry. I shared with a group on Wednesday night about an incident. In fact, it's been about 10 years ago when I was at a different church. And our church was going to take a mission trip to Honduras. And we were going to go work in the slums of Tegucigalpa. And we'd seen pictures of, you know, the surroundings around there. And we realized that the children there had no shoes. They walked around in the dirt and the mud all the time without shoes. And so we decided one of the ways that we could show God's love to them was to take them shoes. And our vacation Bible school came up before that time period. And so we told all the vacation Bible school children to bring a pair of shoes, go buy a pair of shoes and bring them. And we put little love notes on each pair of shoes. We took pictures of the kids when they were holding their shoes that they were donating, and they wrote a little love note to a child in Honduras, and they were beautiful. I mean, it was great with all these shoes and the little love notes and pictures of children. And we were so excited. And we had several hundred pairs of shoes. And so then we had to get extra luggage because now we've got to take all these shoes over to Honduras. And we took all the shoes and took them over there. And it was so exciting that first day when we were handing out shoes to all these kids and we were trying them on to make sure we got the right size for each one. And it was so much fun taking pictures of the kids with their new shoes on. It was great. Until 2 days later when there were zero children wearing shoes. None. You know, they'd never worn shoes before. Why would they decide to wear them now? You know, but it sounded like a great idea at the time. We thought it'd be a great ministry, and they were very proud of them. You know, they were put in a special place in their homes. But these children needed so much more. And if we'd just taken time to really talk to God and listen to what God was really telling us needed to be done, I'm sure we would have spent our time and our finances in a much better way. But we thought we knew better. And how many times did we do that in our own lives? Come up with our own ideas and think, this is what needs to be done. God, just bless this because I've already figured out how it needs to work. Instead, maybe we need to go back and be listening to God. You know, every Sunday morning we gather together, and one of the things we do is we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we pray it together, and we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. You know, so it's as if we really recognize that we should really be listening to God's will. But I think too often then we get off to ourselves and we're thinking about running our lives and doing things, and we're more focused on my will be done. In fact, I'm thinking about the Frank Sinatra song about doing it my way. You know, that may sound like a great thing, but if we're trying to do things without God, it's not really going to work. So maybe we need to take a step back and say, okay, how can we look at things and look at it from God's perspective so that we know that we're doing God's will and not our will? And I think we do that by looking at the story of these two followers of Jesus who are walking down the road to Emmaus and looking at their lives. You know, they left Jerusalem because they didn't understand. Their perspective was too small. But thank goodness, Jesus didn't want them to miss out. Jesus knew that, you know, pretty soon all the disciples were going to figure out that Jesus really was resurrected, and, you know, they'd already found the empty tomb and he was going to appear to them later. But he didn't want these two to miss out on all the excitement. And so he goes after them and he walks along beside them on the road and he talks to them. And he explains to them what the scriptures had to say. You know, he starts with Moses and the prophets and teaches them exactly how it all applies. You know, they thought they understood scripture before, but they really didn't know some of these things until Jesus explained it to them. You know, and if you think about it, it will take the time to study scripture. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will gladly open up the scriptures to us so that we truly understand what the scriptures say. But God doesn't force himself on us. He's willing to walk with us if we'll walk with him. He's willing to teach us things. He's willing to show us things about what's going on in the world around us and help us to be more aware of things if we want to. But he gave us free will, and we have the choice to make of whether we'll invite him in and allow him to teach us. And as they're walking along, then it says that they approached the village. And Jesus acts as if he's going to go farther. And so they say, oh, wait, you know, they urge him strongly, you know, stay with us. In the King James Version, it says, abide with us. And there's something about that word, abide. But stay with us. You know, it's evening's coming on and it's getting late. And so Jesus stays with them. And because they invited him in, then they're going to have an opportunity to see him in a way that they've never seen him before. To really experience him. And so it says that they sit down at the table and he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And it's when he was giving it to them that their eyes are open and they recognize who he is. And then at that moment he disappears. Wow. Can you imagine what that would have been like to be there? How exciting to experience that. You know, I think that's one reason I get so excited about Holy Communion. I often think about this particular verse And think about the fact that for these two, that's when Jesus revealed himself to them. And I know Jesus can reveal himself to us any time and any place, but to me, there's something special about when we partake in Holy Communion and when that bread is broken and given to us. Maybe all of our eyes would be open. And then the scripture goes on and they ask each other and they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Our hearts burning. You know, I think God shares with us his will when we spend time with us and when we study his scriptures and when we abide with him. But I also think sometimes when we have that burning heart, and not heartburn, that's something else, but that warm feeling inside, and it's kind of a passion, and it's like, "Lord, I think you're giving me this. I think this is what you're telling me to do." And somehow we just have this deep feeling that God's talking to us. And I think sometimes that's heart burning in us. And then it goes on to say in the very last paragraph, talks about that they got up and they went back to Jerusalem. You know, they weren't going to just sit there with that news. That news was too exciting. They wanted to share that with other people. And hopefully we're that way too. Hopefully when we see Jesus, when he's revealed to us, we want to do the same thing. We want to rush out and share with others. And they wanted to share what had happened. What had happened on the road and what had happened whenever, you know, at the meal, whenever Jesus revealed himself. That was their witness to let others know about Jesus. And what about us? Do we really experience God? Do we really know who he is? You know, are we so blinded by our own paying attention to our own lives and thinking it's all about us that we forget to look at the bigger picture? We forget to look at it from God's perspective and God's will. But thank goodness we have a God who doesn't want a single individual to be left out. He wants to make sure everyone experiences him. And because of that, he sent Jesus Christ to walk with us, to abide with us, to open our eyes. And God's will and God's purpose is glorious because it's so much bigger than anything we could imagine. So my prayer for us is that as we walk with Jesus, that we would understand his teachings, that we would see what he's showing us, that we would truly experience him, and that our eyes would be opened so that we might know and do the will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are doing so much all around us, and we often miss it because we're wrapped up in our own things. But Lord, I do pray that we'll take a step back and pay attention to your bigger view of life, of what's really important, of what your will is. Lord, help us to see you moving all around us and help us to join in with what you're doing so that we might really find our purpose in life in your story, in your will. Lord, for each and every one of us, guide us each step of the way. Lord, we want to experience who you are in all of your fullness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.